The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another splendiferous episode.
That is a good goddamn word, Bob.
No need for apologies. I'm the God, Dave Temple.
And I'm the great boy, Derek Gaines.
And we are here in London.
London town.
And our flat from London.
And a flat recording from the flat in London town.
We wanted to be responsible podcasters and still, you know, not get just leave
off.
Y'all hanging, you know what I mean?
Even get though something
we're
off.
We're out here having a great time. I'm sure you guys are seeing everything that we've been posting on social media, all of the followers that have been following around, and all of the new followers that have come here from the show that we pulled off here in London. I still can't believe we fucking did that.
We pulled it off.
Yeah, that is like, I did not see that coming 3 years ago when we was just like, when you was like, yo, you want to come and host this podcast with me, man? Because,
Yeah, and now we're doing shows in London town. We're international now.
Yeah, so we've been here for 4 days now?
4 days.
Four days. It has rained 3 out of the 4 days that we're here.
5 days we've been here.
And apparently that's pretty typical. But I mean, it's also spring. It's the rainy season. But thank God we found hashish to make the rainy days.
We found some hashish. My eyes are a little hashish right
Thank
now.
Thank God, because the rain, like, I don't know how any Brits, like, I feel like you would definitely have, like, chemical dependency over here. Everybody's got a drink or
a lot
know,
of people be drinking out here.
Like
a lot of bars we went to. There was a lot of bar crawling out in London.
Yeah.
Out in the Shoreditch area.
That's what we did our first night here. We got here on a Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
Friday?
We left Thursday night. We got here Friday
Right. We left
morning.
So we flew overnight. Got here. That was also funny. You and I were not on the same flights.
Yeah,
flights 20 minutes apart.
Weird.
Like my flight left at 10:40. Your flight left at 11.
Yeah.
We were in two different gates, two different planes. Each of them had at least like 400 people on them.
And you know I didn't really take off till 11:40.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You got delayed
because of delay. Because everybody was trying to leave. So on my plane, I was like, bitch ass Dave, he probably in front of me, won't take the fuck off. I was like, hurry up. I'm stressed out on this plane.
I see what you're saying. You got stuck on the tarmac. But our planes landed around the same time.
Yeah, we did.
In London. So that was kind of weird to just
Wasn't
like
that weird?
Split up.
Yo, you land? Yeah, we right here waiting for you.
Yeah. Got our stuff, got on out of here. Thank God Uber works here.
Uber works out here, bro.
So we're still pretty easy to just be like, yo, top. All right, you know.
Because it does have a Manhattanish-esque feel.
Yeah.
I feel like every major city in the East Coast kind of just took everything from London and split it up.
Absolutely.
Because London is, it feel like it's New York, Philly, and Jersey mixed together. It's kind of weird.
Well, there's a reason why there's a new in front of the York.
Oh, yeah.
It was already a York.
Yeah, this was.
It was just like, nah, this New York.
Nah.
We got New England.
This us.
New Jersey. New Mexico. Like, we don't give a fuck.
Philly. I'm
There is, like, I think there's a new Philadelphia somewhere in the United States.
New Philadelphia.
Yeah, they just be like, nah, we're at the start over here. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, the days have been pretty fun here.
Absolutely.
Action-packed. Friday, like you said, we landed.
Shortage.
Kind of hung out. Yeah, we got here like at a like kind of early. Because we landed at like 6 a.m.
Uh-huh.
So we still like had to go like get breakfast and stuff like that. Remember we went to
that
little.
Yeah, we did get dumb early.
Yeah, we went to that little cafe thing that we found around the corner. We thought it was like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Sit down and get some breakfast. this shit was like a sliver.
It's like a, it's a part of another building.
Yeah, it was like in an in a apartment building that they just took a little corner and put a glass nook. That's the crazy thing. Like, yeah. You think we don't have space in New York?
It's tight as fuck over here.
Yeah, London, they piling shit.
Yeah.
We even felt that when we got here in the cars and the Ubers. We were like, yo, this crazy. Jason Statham just be doing car chases through this tight-ass traffic?
One of these tight-ass little streets. Like, people be walking on the block. People getting pulled over, and people walk by and go, yo, this fucked up that they pulled you over.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
It's crowded. It is pretty crowded.
We saw a purple Lambo get pulled over. I was like, yeah, you can't go fast out here. The hell is wrong with you?
They did have, like, three motorcycles that pulled that guy over. Yeah. So I wonder whether there was a chase that we missed.
That would have been cool.
Right, right.
Purple Lambo just right on the block, right out near, where was he at, Piccadilly Circus?
Something like that.
Yeah.
They're all starting to run together on me. London has been dope, though. We've seen a lot of shit. The people, friendly, a little bit too friendly.
A little bit too friendly.
I know there's brilliant people in this town, but there's a lot of dimwits also. A
lot of.
And, the dim ones seem to shine brighter. They definitely make their presence felt.
And that's so funny.
Remember the lady at the cafe?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as we sat down, this other lady came over.
Can you watch my bag?
And took up a table for six, bro.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Like, she wanted the four top and the two top across the little way.
She's very selfish. Very selfish gal.
And got up and asked us to watch her luggage when she went in and used the bathroom. And that was the thing. We made the mistake of speaking instead of nodding our heads. Once she found out we were American,
everything, all the gates opened up.
Yeah, yeah.
She started making those weird British sounds. I'm like, I guess she's happy with us. That's what she did.
That's another thing that we learned. I thought Derek was just being ignorant with his British accent.
Uncle. Bob's your bob. Kabob's your bob.
Yeah. We've done this a few times, like on stage at Black Ass, where you would actually be, oh, shabob, shabob, bob, bob, your uncle. And I thought this was just the most racist thing I had ever. Like, why do you do that, bro?
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, exactly. Which I was like, yo, dude, we're trying to promote, and you being like racist and the thing. But apparently, Bob's your uncle is a real fucking phrase.
Absolutely.
A real phrase.
Come on, man. I'm
where
not
did
that
you
dumb.
Say you?
I found it out on the Disney cartoon 101 Dalmatians.
Here's why I thought you made it up.
Yeah.
Because I felt like you were just saying, like, kebab, kebab, to be British. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, kebab, kebab, donut kebab. You know what I mean?
Kebab, like, kebab. Shabab, shabab.
Right.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, right? So I'm fucking sitting in here bullshitting one day and watching this video on YouTube. It's, you know, British dude explaining some shit. And that motherfucker really goes, and Bob's your uncle. And I was like, he really said, yo, I had to rewind it. I'm like, yo, he really said Bob's your uncle? So then I had to nerd out. I had to go deep on this shit to find out, like, yo, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean?
What does Bob's your uncle mean? We're calling the episode Bob's your uncle, by the way. But anyway,
yeah, it has to be called Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
It just means, like, yep, and that's it.
And that's it. It is what it is.
We're done. We're
Bob's
done.
Your uncle.
Like, if you're working on something and then you just finish, like, pop, 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 pop. All right, we built this table. Yep. And Bob's
your uncle. Or Fanny Jant.
The girl.
Jant. That's the girl derivative.
The feminist version.
The Fanny Jant for all the feminists.
So I had to look it up, the phrase. You can look it up, too, and see. There's actually a fucking Wikipedia page for Bob's your uncle. But they brought it that, like, some ruler, some motherfucker, Robert the Third of something. You would think if I looked it up, I'd retain the fucking information. But he gave his nephew a job that he wasn't qualified for in government.
So, okay. So Bob's your uncle is kind of like a nepotism shade.
Right, right, right. And it's just like,
there's some nep shade.
Right. That was their way of shaking off any kind of injustice that they were seeing in their government.
Okay.
Why the fuck is this happening?
Bob's
your uncle. You know what I mean?
Bob's your uncle. You know who Bob is. You got in here off the straight bypass. You fucking spoiled motherfucker.
So Bob. I kind of like that. I want to keep saying that. I'm going to bring that back to New York. Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
Could we make that the tagline of NNFA? NNFA. Bob's your uncle. They say a lot of weird shit over here, man. They're very...
Literally.
Yeah. Well, you just used it perfectly, too.
Literally.
They use literally the way New Yorkers use facts.
Facts, B.
Yeah, just literally. The way you're agreeing with somebody and just listening while they're talking. Motherfuckers will just sit here and be like, oh, yeah, literally.
Literally, literally.
Literally, fam. And you go, hey, could you stop? I'm
yeah, it was a lot
talking.
Of literallys. But shout out to Caval at one of my favorite stores, Dover Street Market. The second time I've only been to Dover Street Market, and went to the original Dover Street Market in London.
Yeah.
Went and bought some clothes. That's why I had to come out, because Dover Street started here. So I was like, yeah.
I know. Derek did the full on, you know, like when a pretty girl touches down in a new city and then they're like, it's time to go shopping.
Yeah.
And then that song plays.
That's exactly what I did. Came here like a blonde bombshell. Got me some clothes.
Look at those bags. T, pull these bags over here that he got from the shopping thing when you get a second. She's sitting there messing with the levels right now. Let's see if she's going to walk through the camera and climb. There you go. Look at these fucking bags, especially the white one.
Yeah. And we was having a good time over there.
Look at get the white one. See how the size of the fucking bag because of how much shit this dude was buying.
I didn't go, so you guys walked in with these bags?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Look at the size of this thing. It's the size of a television.
Yeah, we had a good time.
That's a Black Friday television.
Bought some sneaks. had to do some stuff.
You know. See, look, I spilled the water. That's why I didn't put it on the table. All right. I did good. All right. I used the bag yesterday because I was doing push-ups outside on the terrace, and it got hot, and I didn't want to put my bare chest on the ground. So.
In front of them. Yeah. If it's a yoga mat, it's as big as a yoga mat. That's the kind of fucking shopping we do, that the bags they give you, size of a goddamn yoga mat. Let's go. Get yourself a workout pad. Go shopping. That's what it is.
All right. This is Derek put me on to Dover Street Market because this is not my world.
It was 4 or 5 floors of fly.
Yeah.
That's basically it. You just keep going up.
Fly, but like.
Weird.
It was weird fly. Shit you saw. Because, nigga, I saw the orthopedic shoe in there.
Uh-huh.
Like the ones that people will wear when they have like plantar fasciitis. Yeah. Like when I was in a
boot. But there was two of them bitches. That's right.
Yeah.
It was two of them.
Two of those. And they were the material of like, you know, those karate helmets.
Yeah.
That foam. That foam that you do when you're doing like karate stuff.
That's high fashion, man.
How?
I don't know. I wouldn't do it, but it's there. If it's going to be high fashion, it's going to be at Dover Street. Bruh. And if you go to Dover Street, a lot of their clothes is like 6 months, a year ahead of everything back in the States. So I really feel like I'm doing some fly ass shit.
Good for you, man. Yeah.
And that's my whole goal. Everybody says I'm stupid for it, that I spend like, you know, exorbitant prices on fly shit. But that's why you got to keep working. My whole hustle is different. Like, I can only do this because I keep working.
Well, you was where you wanted to be. That was the other thing we found out. West Side Gun does frequent the store.
And when I found that out, I felt like I was right on the path. I was like, yep. West be here. Word. Derek Gaines be here, too. So
Yeah. When he said that, how many times would you think that guy's been there?
Well, you know.
Or you think it might have been a one-time thing?
If he over there.
Here, my thing is, if you get big, you think motherfuckers going to be like, Derek be here. Like, nigga, I was here one time. Like, I was
but
here
every
once.
Time, but I promise, if I'm, you know, the day God sees fit that I'm famous or whatever, every time we hit London, I will go to Dover Street and pick up at least $5,000 worth of clothes because I'll be fly like that. 5, 6, just being there, visiting, picking up shit off the fucking counters because, you know, it's the life I always wanted to live. So,
yeah. Can we ask how much did you spend?
I spent a lot.
He's not going to tell us.
Spent a lot of money. Spent a lot of dumb money out here.
That's like
I'm glad I had a TV
that's like
show.
My joke about the cat. That you don't want to tell us how much they paid for it.
I don't want to expose that because I don't really feel good about it. But But I have I had some checks coming in, so I did the bigger thing. It was like, well, I'm not on my ass. I do have a safety net.
Right.
But I am going to make some mistakes while I'm out here. And I absolutely did.
I will say this. The store met all of the requirements of every high-end fashion place you've ever taken me to.
Yeah.
It's like floors and floors of, like, obviously overpriced clothing, which is fine. And then there's a place to go and nibble to forget about what
little,
you just did.
So you can eat away your fucking... I went up there, had a cortada. I had a lemon curd. Lemon zest, a little cheesecake, whatever. Just be like, yeah, man, I fucked up. Yeah, but no, it was great.
A lot of collaborations.
A lot of collabs. Cool. That's why when you get a fucking Sakai Carhartt jacket flip-flop, it's like the fly shit you don't see in America sometimes. And then on top of that, you go, well, shit, if I get on stage with this, they're going to be like, right. He don't even dress like nobody. Right, like, right. This motherfucker completely another kind of...
Yeah.
He another kind of guy. So it's like, yeah, but that's the whole thing.
So
but
it was dumb. After we did shopping, we ended up getting spots at Top Secret.
Mm.
So Saturday night, Derek and I performed to a sold out Saturday night crowd at Top Secret London. It, to me, was like... One, I was just talking about this. I like the fact that we are at a stage where we get to pass all the rigmarole of the club.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because I could tell there's rigmarole. Like, you've been to comedy clubs. You see the disgruntled comics.
The way it was ran,
see the comics that they work regularly. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. The alcoholics is just kind of lurking around the green room.
Hey there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in states where Delta 8 is legal.
Yeah.
Do you want to get high?
Yeah.
Like really high.
You saying
like really super duper legally high.
Legally high?
Well, it's time to go to yoDelta.com where you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8.
Oh, wow.
Listen. Delta 8 is the future. I can tell you this as I've just gone through multiple countries in Europe where the cannabis is not allowed.
Cannabis is definitely not allowed.
I had a cop take a blunt from me in France and step on it.
Like he wrote stuff.
And you know why? Because it wasn't Delta 8.
It wasn't Delta 8.
He could tell it wasn't Delta 8.
He could smell that it wasn't THCP.
But if I had Delta 8, which I should have had on me to be like, hey, this is Delta 8. It's found in hemp, and it can be legally smoked in the streets of France. Don't you give me that shit, la policia.
And they had machine guns on them.
Yeah, ain't no reason for me to deal with no machine guns, and I won't ever again. I'm going to go to yoDelta.com and make sure I have all the gummies, all the vapes, all the flour, everything I need to make high nigga pie. I can tell you Delta 8 works and that these products should be taken responsibly. So don't go trying to find your way around. Don't drive too fast. You really shouldn't be driving on Delta 8. Just, you know, take it easy. Hang out. So one more time, it's yoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital sponsor of the Gas Digital Network, excuse me. And if you use promo code GAS, G-A-S, you're going to get 25% off.
Yeah.
One more time, that's promo code GAS.
GAS.
For 25% off. Yo Delta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high.
And I implore you, don't blow the Delta 8 smoke in a French cop's face because you'll probably get your ass whooped.
Yeah, man. They're tougher than they look. Mm. All right, let's get back into it.
I know, but you know politics when the front of the club is fucking jumping before you get in.
Yeah,
We pulled up, people everywhere.
Lined
I was like, oh, yeah.
In the rain.
Somebody is hiking up their pants right now. Like, who you need to get through me to get in this bitch?
Right,
because it was... popping. It was popping. I'm talking about sticky floors popping. Yeah, like, yeah.
It was pretty rough, but it was great. Great audience. That was my first London crowd.
Me too.
Both of ours. It was the first time touching a stage in London. They were on it. They were I like the way they do the shows here too.
Yeah.
Like they lock them in. There's no waitresses or waiters in there. They got them in. They do two comics, and then they take an intermission where they let the crowd go out, get their drinks, go to the bathroom, and then come back, and then they, like, restart the show. Like, they bring the host back up.
Shout out to my girl Josephine for hosting the hell out those shows. This little old baddie, little just light-skinned, just some weird blend of like not American vibe, English accent, little gold earrings, little fucking. She got aunt body from waist down, but she kind of like a hot bitch waist up, right? I was like, she's saying all nasty
mouth.
Jokes.
Yeah,
she's saying all nasty jokes with an accent. I was back there just like, this bitch is tickling my fancy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fun to watch because it was pleasant to get on after her. And I snapped on her and she took the joke and was like, that was funny. And I was like, oh, they loose out here.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, London down the clowns. Because I went up there and I did a joke about her. I was like, I said some shit about a pussy. And I saw her react, and it was fun. So I was like, oh, we got camaraderie out here.
I had to do the same thing. Yeah. She went up before me because we got to go on after the intermission, which is a sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
The drinks have already set in from the first round. They got a chance to get another set, and then they're back in and resetting. And she's a great host, but she was literally throwing her pussy
Yeah, literally, fam. She was like, literally look at a couple and be like, oh, I'd break you in two, you little wanker. There's nothing you could do, huh? How long you guys been together? Like, she was really, like, extra with the crowd work. And I had to go up there and tell her, like, yo, could you imagine? Like, only a woman could get away with that.
Only a woman could get away with that.
A man can't get up there and look at a married couple and be like, yo, I fucked the shit out of your wife.
Give me your wife tonight. Matter of fact, leave the club and keep her here.
Right.
That's basically what she was doing.
Right.
But the opposite. So the girls just had to sit there and kind of take it. And then when I got up there and saw how young that first row was, I was like, oh, you young motherfuckers don't know how to, you know how to deal with that fly old shit.
Americans at every show, too. That's been fun, bumping into the Americans at a spot around in there. People, they definitely gravitate towards us once they find out. Like, they hear our accents, and they come over.
You remember the serial killer white man with the hair that just, we was walking to a mall, and then he just sidled up next to us and started yakking.
He pulled up on us like some, you know how like in like those National Lampoon movies where the car drives up along the next car and goes, he did that while walking. I swear he did that while walking. He just walked up alongside faster to get to us and was like, hey guys. You guys American?
American? How long have you been here? Bob Chironko. And I was like, yo.
Yeah. That's another thing. Everyone here, if you bring up someone of notoriety, it's like the six degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
They're going to tell you how they know that motherfucker. Because he did that. I tried to diffuse the conversation. Okay. Oh, look, Ted Baker. And he goes, Ted Baker, lovely chap. And he used to date my ex-girlfriend. And he wanted to run down how he knew Ted Baker and what his connection was. And he's not the only person that did that. Remember the sales rep at Dolce & Gabbana that told us? She was like, oh, I'm Eritrean. A lot of people don't know about Eritrea. And I was like, oh, a lot of people know about Eritrea now, especially after Nipsey Hussle. Like, he really put Eritrea on the map. Oh, Nipsey did a concert here for my ex-boyfriend. He's a promoter. And it's just like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, you mention a celebrity, they're going to tell you, oh, I know. I'm like, they're like one fuck away from.
Don't you hate that? Yeah. Like, oh, I just found you, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You're the one that's next to Nip. Get the fuck out of here. I think you're just making up stories.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I did. I went for a run, as I always do.
All right.
Oh, my God.
He do his runs.
Yeah. And I ran the river, like, around the, what's the name? Baby T, you were with me. You're already shying away from this conversation. Can I tell them? T was basically hungover. I took a drunk little baby with me out running.
She was back there. Fast and furious. We got.
We drank the night before, which we don't usually do, but we couldn't. It was pretty hard to find weed.
We celebrating.
This was weird. We thought when we get to the comedy club, we'd find weed.
I ain't none of that shit.
All right? No, this was weird. And I remember I had to tell the dude. I had to tell the other comic because there was another black comic on the show. And yeah, I probably asked him because he was black, but I definitely clarified that I'm like, yo, I'm not asking you because
you're black.
I'm asking you because you're a comic. Is there any bud around here? And he was like, ah, not around here. Like, where I live in Brixton, yeah, it's easy to get, but up here, it's pretty hard to get, and I wouldn't do it. It's legal, blah, blah, blah. All right, don't even stress it. I'm not going to trip. But the staff, right? Maybe the staff knows.
Maybe the staff knows.
I know the comedy clubs back in New York.
Easy.
Everyone's on drugs.
Everybody on drugs. To be a waiter or waitress in New York City at a comedy club, you doing something.
So I start asking the waiters and waitresses, and I realize, oh, I've become that entertainment guy. Hey, you guys know I get some drugs?
Yeah, I know, right? We are here looking like straight junkies.
Yeah, I got an astonishing amount of like, well, I personally don't do that, but maybe
turns out they don't really
ask,
fuck with that shit out here like that. They don't smoke the weed.
Yeah, they was like, go ask this person, that person, and everybody that they told me to ask was black.
How about that?
Everybody. It was like, go try Jordan. And I'm like, who's Jordan? And they point, and I'm like,
sir, do you have a stereotypical bag of weed I could buy off of you?
So then, I think we're getting close.
Okay.
Because they go, oh, Frankie's got the weed, right? They're telling Frankie will have it, right? And they introduce me to Frankie, and I go, hey, Frankie, they said it, not me. Talk to me. What can you do? You know what I mean? And Frankie began to explain to me how, yeah, I used to, but my girlfriend doesn't really like it, so I don't do it anymore. And you go, like,
That was, you could have just said no.
Like you just said no.
You didn't have to tell me that your woman runs your life like this.
because it seemed like everybody in London is this weird ass open book. There's too many libraries out here.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers just open up the page and you'd be like, I wasn't down to read.
Right.
Yeah, like what the fuck? I don't want to know that.
Just give me the number.
Just the number. But lo and behold, because we were talking like Americans, inside of a cab, the cab driver goes, where are you guys from? Then we strike up another conversation that led us down what road?
To get the weed, yeah. Our cab driver, who oddly enough, the way we flagged, so let's back up a second.
Yeah. Because we didn't talk about the pizza thing.
Right, right. Yeah. So we're looking. Frankie can't get it for us. I remember even at one point I go as far. This is when I stopped asking because I realized I was pushing too much.
Okay.
I was like, Frankie, do you work tomorrow? He's like, yeah, I work tomorrow. Okay. Is there any chance you could just get some, bring it to work tomorrow, and then I'll come and pick it up, you know? And he's like, oh, my girlfriend wouldn't like that. And I was just like, all right.
Damn,
all right,
dude.
We're
wear
done,
some
right?
pants, nigga. Like, what the fuck?
So.
Ain't no pants on for this dude.
End of the night.
He can walk around with a bikini. So
end of
bikini.
The night. One of the employees from the club, he comes up and he goes, hey, man, if you want this little pizza shop down there, they'll open up the shutters for you. They'll let you in. You can drink. You can have food, whatever you guys want. And you're like, all right. You know, we weren't expecting that, but it was like, all right, cool.
And
we'll
I
go
am
check
hungry.
It out. Yeah, and he pushed it a little bit, so we go to check it out. And it was cool.
He walks
you walk
us
down,
down
the street because it's like 1 a.m. It's like 1 a.m. It's raining. The streets are kind of starting to clear out, you know what I mean? All the storefronts are closed. And he literally walks to a shutdown shop, knocks on the gate, and the shutter just starts rising up. We're like, oh, shit, what's going on, right? It's like out of a movie. You come into a pizza shop, all of the lights are off, and it's just two dudes behind the counter. And he's
one
like,
dude
yo.
Taking the money, one dude making the pizza.
Right, and he's like, yo, these are two Americans that are here visiting. Oh, all right, come on. We're like, okay, I fucks with this treatment. It's 1 a.m. We in a shutdown pizza shop. They giving us booze. They giving us pizza. Pizza all gluten-free. Because I polished off a whole pizza 2 days in a row. Didn't feel
right.
Shit, man.
No
like,
gluten.
Yeah, the
and
food
it,
is
and
great.
And the fit and the fucking pizza was delicious. And everybody keeps saying, the food terrible in London. The pizza was fan-fucking-tastic. I was like, yo. The pepperoni on this shit is popping. I was like, it was like some of the best pizza I ever had. I was like, yo, this is it's pretty weird.
So we in here thinking we like high
stars.
Life. We thinking we the shit. They got the little Godfather music playing over
they
the speakers.
They had the Godfather playing.
Yeah, they gave us the remote. We back here.
They
we playing West Side Gun.
With the fucking
man. All of a sudden, more people just started. Coming, and they just started letting like random drunk people in, and you go like, "Oh, this ain't no special treatment. This is just some weird speakeasy pizza shop." You know what I mean? Like,
and some sneak in the back and eat because we still got a little, just trying to make a couple extra dollars.
Yeah,
but I wasn't like I thought I was special until these drunk motherfuckers came in and start talking.
Right,
and I was like, "All right,
let's
I
get
guess.
Out of here." The energy changed. It got real wanky. You know,
it got
like, just
and
drunk.
So many dudes
it
came
got,
in.
Yeah, like with that soccer hooligan energy.
Dude, that hooligan
that's
energy.
That's my spot there, mate. And that's my remote. And, you go,
and he was like, we looked at him.
Hey,
he
bro.
Was like, just joking or whatever
yeah,
the fuck.
Yeah, but you don't corner a
having
nigga.
A piss.
Yeah.
Taking the piss out of you in the bum.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
After a while, I was like, it was one girl to those four dudes. And then just to hear just how European they were, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We not in America no more.
Yeah.
Boy. We just in a base. We in a back room in London with just, I'm hearing like Irish dialect. If it sounded like English dialect, and then the three drunk dudes on the other side, I was like, "There's three tables, a table full of dudes over there,
yeah,
a table full of dudes over here, and two girls total." I said, "Nah, this is trash."
We gotta go. We left.
I never liked a
place
that's
how we ended up
with dudes.
This is how we ended up out in the street. I think we're in like the Soho part of town late at night, and we go and we flag down a cab to take us back to our part of town.
Yeah, this is going to get good. This is going to get good right here.
And we're in the car. We took a taxi this time. So they got those cool old-shaped taxis.
Old-shaped Mr. B.
Yeah, one person gets to sit backwards like a baby. You know what I mean?
That's what
it's
I did.
Cool, yeah.
I did it every time because I'm a baby, I guess. Because I was like, oh, this shit's fun. Because you just be like in the car like that for real?
This shit seemed like it'll make you nauseous. Just like, ah. But anyway, we're back here yakking, being loud Americans. And I guess somehow it did come up. I guess we were still complaining about the fact that we couldn't get weed at the comedy club.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you just hear this voice because it's like a little speaker where they can talk to you in the back. What? Are you guys having a bit of trouble finding your way?
And like, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then he just, then this dude went on. He gave us the guy's number and he gave us his number.
But he told us to call. This is how different London is than America. And I had to tell him this. Because he goes like, yeah, call that number. And he gives us the guy's name. I'm not going to say the guy's name.
Yeah, don't say trouble.
But he gives us the guy's name and number. And he goes, yeah, he's probably not up now. You should probably call him maybe tomorrow after about 11.
He wakes up at 11 a.m. Like, yeah. How the fuck?
And I'm like, bruh. 11 a.m. Like the drug hour is now. Like
right now,
it's 1:40 in the morning on a Saturday. Late. This is prime time drug dealing hours.
That's
you know
hour
what I mean?
Before lunch.
That's what I'm like, dude. I sold drugs as a kid. We were outside at this hour. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, I'll respect the boundaries. We'll text him after 11, right? So next day, I'm reaching out to the guy, and you know. He's not answering my text, but I do call him, you know what I mean, through using the WhatsApp.
Yeah,
and
he
answers. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, the cabbie gave us your number. You know the cabbie, right? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. He said, you can help us out. And he's like, oh, like I'm bothering him. You know what I mean? Like, this nigga was, like, home playing FIFA or some shit. And I'm like, yeah, do you want to make some money or not? Like, are you out? And I guess it's not like here. It's not like trapping where you just got to get the money. Like, where you at? I'm busting these moves.
Yeah.
He was really like, oh, where you at, fam? And I'm like, oh, I'm an angel. Oh,
yeah,
mad.
Man. Wow.
Mad. That's so far, bruv. And I'm like, that's too far? I'm not driving, mate. And he go like,
oh, shit.
What kind of drug dealer?
It was pretty bad. Like, dude, this is not good for business. You got to.
So the guy literally tells me, you know what? It's a bit late now. Why don't you call the cabbie and see if he can come pick it up? Or maybe he give you someone else, right? And they go like,
right? He said that, right?
In it, or however high they finish.
He probably said, in it.
We'll see what the cabbie said, in it, right? So like, all right, I guess that's the end of that. You know what I mean? So I text the cabbie. Thank God he gave us his number, too. You know what I mean? I text the cabbie to be like, hey, this is how that interaction went. Let me know what you could do. And then I left my phone here in the flat when we went to go do our show at the Angel. So the cabbie actually got back to me like, yo, what's up? What you need? I could get it. And I wasn't answering the phone. So we were doing but yeah, that was our process of getting drugged. 2 days. We got it the next day. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But yeah, then we went to Sunday night, which was also Mother's Day.
It was Mother's Day. Mom's Day out here.
Mom's Day. Baby yeah.
Mom's Day.
Yeah, that was. I don't really have anything on Mom's Day. You know, it was just a thing that they said it was happening.
You ready for me? I wish my mother. I text my mom, hey, just because I'm out here, happy Mother's Day, and wound up buying her a gift.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Mother's Day is different in other countries. I didn't know that. Like,
me neither.
Yeah.
But
ours
yeah, so
is May.
May, second week of May. It's always second week
the second
of May.
Sunday.
Second in Sunday of May. Yeah.
Okay. So theirs must be the same way because it was a Sunday. It was definitely a Sunday.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I kind of celebrated and went and got my mom a gift.
Good for you.
And her up. Because yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? So whatever.
Yeah, well.
And plus, she did a good job booking this little Airbnb we in. So, you know.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Airbnbs we about to in. Shout out to
Derek's mom. She wanted to be a part of the NNFA crew, and this is how she did it. I'm glad because if you leave it to me and T, yeah, we going to be booking low stuff. We don't know how to live yet. Like,
yeah, we out here. Peep game. Ready for this shit? They don't have air conditioning out here, but peep this. The heat come through the floor.
Yeah, they heat their floors.
And the carpet be feeling fly as a motherfucker. You walk barefoot on the carpet, you be like, it get hot, though. And she sleeps, I don't know why, she sleeps with the temperature on 89 and 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And I be waking up like, what
we
the
do
fuck? It's pretty crazy.
T,
like,
T
now
is
that I
a
know,
lizard,
because I've
bro.
Never I never hung out with T in a vacation setting, so we're going to have to get separate air. We're going to have to figure this shit out.
We
because,
have,
nigga,
thank God
I woke
we
up
have
sweating
a two-bedroom
twice
apartment.
This weekend.
Thank God we have a two-bedroom apartment.
The other room is the office, and she goes in there, and I mean, she takes a space heater. There's already a heater in there. There's already a radiator in there that warms up the room. Then she's got the space heater, closes the door, the windows, and she's just in there just heating it up with the extra smoke, and she's just, and it's a tank when you, and you come in there, and she's like, you ever seen Men in Black? When
she be working on a computer. Don't the computer need air to work?
Apparently not. She opens it when she's done.
The computer only
she
works
opens
when
it when
cold.
She's done to let the shit out.
That's why they got a fan in
but
the
nigga,
computer.
You ever seen on Men in Black when the white dude comes back and they trying to explain to him why he does so well at the post office?
Okay.
And he doesn't realize he's surrounded by aliens, and then he looks under and there's a nigga there with all his arms.
Yeah, and just
that's what T is when I come in that room.
Yeah.
I open the door, she's just in there.
Yeah, he was throwing mail in the different slots.
And she just looks up at me like, ah. And I'm like, God damn, it's so hot in here.
Because he was smoking.
Yeah.
At that time, he was no smoking. And then from one of his other arms, he pulled out another cigarette.
And I'm telling you.
And continued to do what the fuck he was
doing. That's how TBT had that shit looking like Snoop Dogg's green room, right? And then to top it off, she'll have a hoodie on, my nigga.
Damn.
She got a hoodie on, and
all
she's
right,
just
so
in there.
For
like,
T birthday, we're going to get you a box of Total, because your iron is low. Your iron is completely low. Like, what the fuck,
it's
man? I woke up this morning, I was like, hot.
Hot. Yeah.
Hot. I had to run to the window, had to. Yeah, it was bad.
Even here, I open the window to air out the bedroom. Yeah. We wake up in the morning, and she just comes back like, can I close this? Like right away.
I was just like, why the fuck is it so hot? Yeah, it did feel like an iguana cage up in this motherfucker.
Man.
So, yeah, so we're having a good time here. And what else was fly?
The show was fly. The show that we
produced.
So we did NNFA Live at the Angel, an amazing venue. An amazing venue.
One fun little room, man.
Yeah.
Fun room.
So we found out the comedy club is called the Angel Comedy Club. It's in Angel, the Angel section of London. The building that it's in is called the Bill Murray. It really doesn't have anything to do with Bill Murray. They said he is aware of it. He doesn't give a fuck. Like,
okay.
It's just a thing. But they've got cool murals. They're really supportive of comics. They got some great podcasts that they produce there. I was surprised. Again, everyone who came out, thank you. The amount of tickets that we sold was incredible.
For a Sunday, Mom's Day, didn't even know it was a holiday, and it was raining like a bitch.
And shout out.
We from America.
Shout out to BJ, though. BJ, American fan, listened all the time. And I think he said he came from Leeds. Like, he didn't even live in London.
Yeah.
He drove from Leeds to come down here. So I always appreciate that kind of support.
Thank you, BJ.
You know what I mean?
Appreciate you, bro. He was out here doing tech software or whatever. He was doing something crazy. And he took a job from left Georgia to come to hear.
That also
wild.
Helps me understand the caliber of listeners that we are attracting. This is what I talk about. I talk about Black Air Force One energy, man.
Yeah, man.
We're redeemable people.
Redeemable.
I'm in London.
No. Out in London. I was shocked to have a fan. And then when everybody else was just kind of hip to it. And then we broke the crowd. Because they didn't know what it was at first. But then as we kept just performing, they was into it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I can still offend across the Atlantic Ocean, because niggas be soft everywhere, it seems. So I'm just glad, no need for apologies, came all the way over here. And then we loosened up. For me, it was kind of tight. Dave had a fucking killer set. I had to kind of work. And then when I figured out my groove and I started snapping on him a little bit, it came too. Then when Dave got back on stage, we started doing the looky-loo. It wound up turning into a very, very fun event. It was like, God damn, we really, the levels. From like Philly to London, you just see the difference, but you see how you gotta adapt.
Yeah,
and I was like, we not adapt.
We like flowetry, yo.
it's poetic. It's poetic.
They went from Philly to London. They went from London to Philly.
Yeah.
Bump winner. Yeah, you had that flowetry hat on.
It's fluid. Yeah, I did have a fucking neck cap. We looked like two free niggas. It was like nice. I had the neck cap. Like it was funny. It was like Outkast. It was great. But no. We wound up having a wonderful night.
It was
and,
a rainy night, but we also found, remember, cause after the show we went down to the clock and all of the
clock. We went to a VQ.
Oh, cool, icy.
And had gluten-free pancakes and waffles with our egg pancake. It
okay.
was weird.
Here's the thing that is fascinating about London, right? So we found a 24-hour diner, right? And, you know, breakfast food. You would think it's the same everywhere, and it's not.
It is not.
Like, their eggs are different. They cook them different. They put them in, like, their omelet, what they would call an omelet. They
it's
put
like
that
a
shit,
skillet.
And they, yeah, it's like a personal pan it. Pizza.
Yeah, it's like a personal egg pie. I was like, we eating quiche out this motherfucker. Like, it was weird.
Right.
And I asked for coffee with cream on the side. I broke the fucking diner.
Yeah, they was like, what do you, you don't want the cream in the coffee? It's got to go in.
No, put it on the side.
Like, like, he made it. Dude, because he made it sound like the coffee and cream come out of a gun together at the same time. Like, it kind of mixes already in the gun. Like, there's nothing I can do.
And I'm doing my damnedest to be a nice guy out here because I'm really in a new town. I don't want to get all attitude flustered.
This is you being a nice guy? You've cussed out at least three people.
Who you talk? I ain't cussed out.
You've cussed out strangers. Like, at one point, I've never seen Derek. How old are you again?
I'm 39.
You're 39. At one point, a man talked to Derek on the train. I watched Derek just do this. I watched Derek just put his face
it
in
was
his shirt.
Stranger Danger. He was hovering over me. I said, nigga, what the fuck? And everybody smells terrible out here.
Oh, the man on the
yeah, like the people smell musty as fuck. Not everybody, because it was a group of ladies. The ladies smelling good. But dudes be out here smelling like straight locker room bathrooms, nigga. Like, yeah. I was like, what the dude in the bus?
I'm not
funky. Dude, this morning when I went to go get the croissants, smelling like a fucking asshole, the cashier sprayed Febreze when he left. I was like, yeah. So this happens because she went and sprayed that Febreze too quick. She was like, hold on real fast before I. He a regular. She sprayed the shit down, and the security guard looked at me and was like, hello, security, what the fuck was that?
There were people who were working the gate on the flight in New York that were fussing because people in line were stinking. There was already people in New York flying back to London that was like, I'm not taking no shower. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Hey, listen to what I'm saying. That's not good, man. You got to smell good.
You know, but it's funny because
I put cologne on before I go to sleep after a shower.
There's a difference. Jesus Christ, are you serious?
Yeah, I spray cologne on, like, shower. Lotion, all that. I spray cologne on my wrist. Not all over. I just do it like this.
That is, but that's again.
In my dreams, I smell great.
That's hot girl shit. What do you?
Because I like smelling myself when I'm going to bed.
Just in case some man creeps into the night.
Just in case some woman creeps into the night. Man, fuck that. Hold on. In case some girl come in and creep around and want to suck me off in my dreams. Yes, I like smelling nice, but it is what it is.
What do you think? The girl version of Peter Pan is coming in at night?
I hope so. And to take me to Never Never Land, I'm Wendy Bird. Fuck that. I'm trying to be. That's what I'm doing. You all right? Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. I put on cologne before I go to bed.
This nigga said I'm like, Wendy Bird.
Yo, bro. I can't do, like, you know I got PTSD with smoke because I used to be a janitor.
Yeah.
And I used to smell everything.
Yeah.
And it just, when I was able to quit my job and do comedy, and if I, because the smell of something stinking just reminds me of my old life.
Yeah.
So I just go, nah, man. And we was walking around, what was this fly-ass mall you took me to?
Harrods.
Yeah.
Harrods.
This fucking original Macy's.
Right. Yeah.
Boy, so we went in there. I had the greatest time I got there.
Yeah, that was right up Derek's alley. That was like the high, one of
like,
the, I think it's the most high-end place to go shopping.
And it smelled beautiful in there.
Yeah.
It smelled beautiful in
there. So here's the funny thing. We go through like this fragrance hall, which was overwhelming for me. Once you get into the fragrance section of a department store, I can't breathe. It's too much. Like, even like when we got into the Uber, like, if we were getting to the Uber at night and I got cologne on, you got cologne on, and the driver got cologne on,
I gotta
roll the window. It's too much.
I did crack the window.
So when
but the
we
drivers
get to
out
the,
here with the cologne, they don't shower. They just spray the cologne
on. Yeah, they spray
it
over
the
funk. So when we got to the fragrance place, it was a bit overwhelming for me. I had to step off to the side. Derek is out there trying cologne on, right? And he got something, and it smelled good. And this is how funny hometown homophobia. He kept talking about how good it was.
Listen to this shit.
This is great. He called his mom. Oh, mom, this is the greatest. He called his girl. Oh, you got to smell this shit. So I'm like, well, damn, nigga, can I smell? And he's like, hold on.
No, let me find the card.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing my wrist. Are you out of your fucking mind? A grown man throws his wrist like this to another grown man to smell his wrist, it's the gayest shit ever. I don't give a fuck. Hometown homophobia is funny. Homophobia between straight men is hilarious.
Why don't you just throw a punch and I'll slip it? You know what I mean? And I'll smell it out.
On the slip, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because but I found a card. You was like, yeah, it's like Aerie.
Yeah, but Harrods is it's on another level. I forgot where I heard about Harrods at, but I think, and I hope I'm not making a mistake, but I think Harrods is the same place that Mr. Bean would be shopping at in his Christmas shopping.
Yeah,
that's why I posted that video in my stories for anybody that saw that.
I want you to know, look, I be talking my shit about being fly, but this nigga be going into the Audemars store talking to the guy for 30-40 minutes.
Yeah.
These niggas be trying on, like, he be on his shit, checking out moose knuckle jackets and shit. It's not just me.
I'm
rubbing off.
My stuff
he
is
don't
different.
Say shit, but he don't like say shit because he won't call me the hot blonde or whatever. Nigga be trying to shop. He be trying to figure out what the fuck is fly.
I was learning, right.
He
so
be trying to figure out what the fuck is fly.
I was in the Audemars Piguet
when I saw you
shop.
In Audemars, I was like, let me just leave this nigga. Yeah. He getting a lesson. I'm out.
Yeah, we was talking.
Because this is what this is.
But that's what I was learning, the value of the Audemars Piguet. Why? And for those of you, I'll share with y'all what I learned, and you just got to put this in perspective to help you understand where they source these materials from in Germany, where we're headed. Brussels is where they source a lot of the raw materials to make these watches, and then they take them up to Swiss. Swiss are already the most famous watchmakers in the world.
Absolutely.
There's two different types of watches that they produce, some of them that are handcrafted and some that are machine crafted. But the craziest thing is they only produce 52,000 watches a year. 52,000. You got to put that in perspective. There's 8 billion people on the planet, man, and there's only 52,000 watches. And that's
they only make 1,000 watches a month.
Right. Yeah, and most of them have to be ordered. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like a week.
A week. Like yeah, 52 weeks.
They make 1,000 a week. Yeah.
They make 1,000 a week. That's it.
Right. And that's, based on, so it's like interesting
and we'll say
to find
half a machine and half a handmade. So of course you're going to pay some money.
Right, man. So that was an interesting thing when we got to talking because he's also, we talked a little bit about comedy, which is fascinating. He told me his favorite comedian, Cat Williams.
How about that?
Cat Williams, a white Brit from the Audemars Piguet store.
In the Audemars store.
Telling me Cat Williams is his favorite comedian.
You know what was fucking crazy? When I walked away to find the men's section, they just had an aisle of diamonds. I don't know if y'all remember.
Yeah.
The jewelry shop. We walked by the beers. They had the beers in here.
Yeah.
I was like,
Harry Winston.
I was like, in the mall?
Yeah,
get
bro.
The fuck out. I was like, oh, this place. And it smelled great. And I was just walking by. I was just like, yo, these riches I deserve.
Yeah.
We went into Cartier, and they had a choker necklace.
It's pronounced Cartier.
67,000 euros or something like that. It's a tiny, tiny little crazy.
Well, yeah. You go, okay, this is what it could be. But yeah. I don't know what I'm going to have to do.
But the craziest thing, in my opinion, because that's what I wanted to go, because I heard you could get anything. So I think back in the day, this used to be a place where, like, people would come, rich Asians, rich brown people, whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. They would just come in with their entourage and, just start ordering shit, making demands, and Harrods was the place where that could happen.
They had a Triceratops head for sale.
Exactly. And that's where, when we got to the fifth floor, that's what we seen, because when we was up there with the technology section, the TVs and the sound systems and the video games, that nigga, I didn't even know shit
past the
existed,
clothes,
bro.
Past the fucking clothes, bro, fly shit.
Telescopes upstairs that could see the moon, like it for your personal consumption, and you realize, like, oh, this is a different kind of money here.
Yeah, it's new money.
There was people pushing around Versace baby strollers and that shit. You know what I mean? It was
big,
wild.
Babies with big gypsy heads. It was like, there's a little water-headed baby. We got on the elevator with a couple with a water-headed. You ever seen a kid with a head too fucking big?
Yeah.
And you just be like, because you see the veins in the bitch. And then we was in there, and of course the dude had to start yakking. And I'm like, oh my God, they won't shut the fuck up. They just want to yak. So I was like, well, all right, let's listen to this story.
They were gypsies, though.
He said it crazy, though.
We met gypsies.
Yeah.
Inherits.
He said it a little crazy.
Because
the way he sparked it up, he just yells out, there's a lot of Americans in here today.
And I turned around with the craziest attitude. I was like,
yeah, he said it like he had a problem. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine if you said that about anything else? You know what I mean? If I'm an American, I'm like, there's a lot of Chinese people in this mall today, isn't
there? I felt like he was a lot of niggas in here. I was like, so it kind of just, it kind of, but he kind of cleaned it up, talking about he was a boxer or whatever the fuck. But I just like that his woman didn't like anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She
and the chick he was with was giving him the face.
She was there trying to spend some money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the baby had Gucci sneakers on.
That's fine.
He was in a Versace stroller.
In a Versace stroller.
Which is like, how is that?
With a fucking.
Here's the thing I also learned walking around Harrods. It's not just niggas that's tasteless.
White people, no. The Asians out here are showing the fuck off. Every clothing store I went to, they were buying up shit that I could only dream to get.
Right.
They was just picking out shit off the rack like it wasn't like.
Right.
Because the shit we was doing, the one store I went to, shout out to N, there was one rack, everything, the average was $2,000. Those jackets was they started at 2,000 because mm-hmm. I knew what they were,
and that's pounds.
And I was like, so 2,000 pounds. So the conversion is even more in dollars. And the Asian kids was like, try this on. All right, throw that over. All right, try this on. Throw it over. We'll stack it up on the fucking. I was like, yeah. And they show off everywhere, New York and now London.
Yeah, man.
I need to shop with the Asians. I'm gonna figure out how to. That's how I'm gonna shop with a group of Asian kids my age when I start making real money.
A group of Asian kids. Yeah, you're almost 40.
Well, 30-year-old rich Asians. Because I'm like, kid, you don't want to be walking around with kids.
Speaking of rich Asians, and I think that was the richest motherfucker I saw this week, was the Asian casually driving a McLaren through traffic.
Remember
in Soho.
And
with
driving,
his girl,
Piccadilly Circus,
just
Louis Vuitton denim PJs
just
on.
In a McLaren, just, and his chick was just sitting in the passenger seat, just texting. I'm like, what is it? Like,
it's
they,
fly out here, man.
What is going on, bro?
It's fly out here.
Yeah.
And I love it.
So I like it. Shout out to London. Shout out to everybody that makes London great. Shout out to everyone's exquisite taste. Shout out to all the new No Need fans that are here that can, support us so that we get to come back, man.
And shout out to the soda out here. It's not as sweet. It tastes like diet. Like, the soda we got in America... Itch in the face.
Yeah.
The soda they got out here, or the it just tastes better. I can't explain it to you because I thought gluten free was some horseshit, but out here it's not bad.
I think I shitted all of America out since I've been here. I am probably at least 7 pounds lighter than I was when I got here, bro.
Shit, I'm so glad I got my own bathroom. I picked the master bedroom, so I got my own bathroom. Thank God, because this nigga is out here.
I got IBS. I think what happened, I got carried away.
I forgot.
I think I got carried away with the drinking. I was having too much fun. Cause
you
were even
out here taking whiskey shit.
Yeah, that's what it was. And once I switched over to the dark liquor,
I'm
I was like,
this
oh,
nigga
shit.
Dark liquor. We out here celebrating.
Let me stop.
Lo and behold, shitting.
Let me stop. Yeah.
We lighting candles, tea. His woman had the light matches and shit. She over here saying, Tiano,
it's not my fault.
Shit.
The bathroom ain't got no windows. The bathroom ain't got no windows, it ain't got no vents, it ain't got nothing.
These flats are built to keep in heat?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But shout out to these London toilets, because they do got big, what do you call it? The spout where all the stuff go down? Huge.
Yeah.
Like, so there's, you can't clog up a London toilet. I see.
No, they figured it out. No, the plumbing in here is great. Thank God. This nigga's got a ass was dead.
I
gotta walk through by his bathroom and go to my room. Bruh.
Everything go down. It's just a big that
the
shit.
What the fuck happened?
It is a whole pipe, man. I'm
no
telling
need
you.
For apologies.
I'm telling you, I think it was America. I think things are about to get a lot better right now. You
so
know
you
what I mean?
Clean up your
food,
diet.
The food from yesterday's restaurant in Harrods was good.
Oh yeah. Shout out to
we don't even know the restaurant that we went to, yeah.
We went to some fly ass restaurant. I had lobster, you know, niggas was eating like wild fish with the sauce.
Yeah,
the dude brought the sauce and did so we had a little fancy time.
Let me tell you something.
Harrods.
One of the best experiences of my life because you can tell tattoos aren't a big thing around here. Not huge, right? Like
no.
So we all have visible tattoos out. We look like trash and like our clothes are loud and gaudy. We're loud Americans. And when I'm telling you, we got hungry, stumbled up to the fifth floor, and didn't realize this was probably one of the highest restaurants in the,
it was crazy.
In the thing, right? Like the hostess, they got on suits. You know, they got like leisure suits, but they got on jackets. You know what I mean? We got on t-shirts, jackets, you know, jeans, right? Sneakers. But the key, Derek, I give it to you. This is what got it. Derek is carrying a Chanel bag.
Derek had just bought his mom some Chanel. So how you gonna turn away a nigga that's carrying a Chanel bag?
That's
you know
what
I mean? So and we like, yeah, three. And we looked the way we look. You know what I mean?
We took like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And when we sat down, we ate. We was the only ones in the restaurant for a while. So we definitely had that like scene like belly because we was loud. You was banging on the table like DMX and all that shit, right?
Yeah, having a good time.
Right. And what I loved the most about it was my phone kept ringing. So I'm answering the phone in the restaurant like a jackass. Like a businessman. You know, these white waiters are coming up with their little napkins on. Hey, are you going to help you? Would you like? I'm pointing at the menu because I'm on the phone. Ah. And at this point, our cabbie, who he actually followed through. The cab actually went and got the drugs from the dude and then hit me up to deliver them. So, like, I got to be one of those rich douchebags that's, like, at a restaurant. Excuse me. Yes. Are you outside? I'm coming down now. Right? Like, and just get there. It's just such a funny thing.
Like, to put a little, to dampen that, me and T was like, what if this thing is a cop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The second you left, I was like, what if he kidnapped somebody?
There was a part of me that thought about that, and I was just like, Dave, this is your problem. You always got to be the one, don't you? You got to be the one to go and do it. You got to be the Mr. Brave Man. I ain't scared of shit. Let's go there. Like, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I mean,
it worked out.
Yeah, it worked. Well, I was scared. I was scared when I got it because I was expecting, like, Bud.
Oh, yeah.
This nigga gave us what I can only say looked like the life spark from... The fucking Transformers. It was somehow compacted into a cube, like
it's
a cube with sugar.
It looked like
that
was sugar.
Yeah, and I gave that man, you know, pounds, and he gave me back a little, like a little baggie, like, you know, I'm like, yeah, hey, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be out. Yeah, exactly.
We deserve this.
Right. Like, you deserve to get beat in another country trying to buy weed, you know what I mean? So... But overall, fucking smashing experience, man. We still got a couple more left. Geneva's, Brussels, and...
You're doing Brussels and then Geneva's.
I'm even saying them wrong. I'm putting S's on them like a little Philly chicken head. Hey, yeah, is it going to be Meek Mills and then it's going to be there?
Yeah, so we got one more week.
Yeah, man.
We're doing
another
week of fly shit.
We'll keep you guys posted on what happens next. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe. Check out where we're going to be when we get back stateside for all our American listeners. April 9th, we are in Washington, D.C. April 19th and the 20th, we are in Baltimore. April 12th, before that, we are in Pottstown, Pennsylvania at the Soul Joe's.
Sure.
And
April 25th through the 28th, I got to make sure because they said there was another nigga on. My shout out to my boy Vlad, he's supposed to be there weekend, but I know I got to push to the end of April. They just need to...
Okay, so yeah, right now it looks like April 25th to the 29th we'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. That ticket link should be coming soon. Guys, also make sure we'll keep doing NNFA at the movies, but it'll be the change of the reaction, which I want to send a huge shout out to Johnny D, who's always sending videos. You send hilarious, funny shit. And I have a lot of those in the run of show to review. We just get distracted. But... Johnny was sending me videos that he wanted me and Tiana to react to on the Patreon. So I'm going to do that. The next one will be that. I did not open it, so I don't know what it is yet. So it will be a genuine reaction view. And I encourage anyone else to do the same thing. You can inbox at NNFA Podcast.
NNFA.
Or you can inbox me at I'm Dave Temple. Whatever your videos are that you want me to check out or review on the show or either on the Patreon. I think the way I'm going to break it up is the Patreon... will be more internet based, and then the show stuff that you guys send me will be more social media based.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just for my good friend Derek's attention span.
Absolutely.
As I'm doing plugs, he's like, I gotta do something.
Go
ahead, do what you want to do.
All right, no need for apologies. God damn it.
All right,
never mind. Didn't work.
Just always ended some shit. Yeah. All right, guys. Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
See you guys later.
Great boy.
This episode of No Need for Apologies was performed in front of a studio full of people that were half listening while they were working on something else.